Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly O'Horo, and this is Adaptable Behavior Explained. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we're going to talk about the topic of anxiety and how we can heal our anxiety symptoms. We're going to discuss a powerful therapy modality that's gaining popularity for its effectiveness in not just treating PTSD and other presenting issues, but also anxiety. Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, or EMDR, is an awesome therapy modality that can help reduce the symptoms of anxiety. And if this is a topic that you're interested in, please make sure that you like it or share it with someone who might benefit, as well as subscribe to our channel so that you don't miss any future episodes. Let's talk about anxiety. It can indeed be a manifestation of unresolved trauma. So when a person experiences trauma, the nervous system often becomes dysregulated and the body can hold on to this energy as a protective mechanism, sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop, creates this sense that I can control something. And anxiety can show up in a variety of different ways. But this trapped energy can manifest and feels like an overwhelm, exponential amount of energy. And it's essentially the body's attempt to remain in a state of heightened alertness to potential threats. So the body adapts to stimulus by maintaining a state of vigilance or hyperarousal. And it can be exhausting. If you deal with this, you know what I'm talking about. It can also be really overwhelming because we just want it to stop. We want it to go away and we want to feel better. And the bad news about any emotion is that the harder we try to push it away, the longer that it persists. So part of the experience of helping ourselves move through anxiety states is to lean into the emotion and let it be what it needs to be and be curious about what it's connected to. Symptoms of unresolved trauma can also include hypervigilance, dissociation, control issues, and physical symptoms like headaches or even digestive difficulties. So the body, in its attempt to protect itself, might create these adaptations to manage the ongoing stress response that was initially triggered by a traumatic event. So let me give you an example of how this might show up. Let's talk about a story about a client. We'll call him Alex. So Alex was in a minor car accident a few years ago, and although physically unharmed, the experiences was pretty traumatic. Now, whenever Alex hears the sound of a car, horns, tires screeching, engines revving, their heart races and they feel a wave of anxiety. And this is because the sounds are similar to those from the accident. So it triggers a stress response in Alex's body, acting as if what was happening then is happening now. That sound is a memory transport. So despite the accident being in the past, Alex's nervous system still reacts as if the danger is present, and it's a common symptom of unresolved trauma. And so this reaction is an attempt by their body to prepare for and avoid similar traumatic events. But we all know that related to driving, so much is truly powerless because other people can do things that are not safe and put us at risk if we're on the road. So this is really unhelpful. Because our anxiousness doesn't prevent those dangerous things from happening. So the anxiety manifests as a physical sensation, a reminder of the past trauma that Alex's body hasn't fully processed or released. It's thwarted in time. It hasn't fully let go. So now this anxious response seems more obvious to be tied to a prior event, but I'd like to share another experience that might be more common as a presentation of anxiety, which many of us probably can relate to. And that's about perfectionism as an anxious response to shame and potential rejection. So let's talk about another client example. Let's imagine a student, we'll call them Jamie, who once experienced a low grade, even though they worked really hard on a major project. And so despite the fact that this happened several years ago, Jamie still feels the sting of that perceived failure, the shame, the disappointment of self, the rejection from parents, peers, or teachers. And as a result, Jamie has developed a strong perfectionistic streak, driven by the fear of experiencing that same kind of disappointment and judgment again. So Jamie spends excessive hours studying, perfecting every assignment, redoing things that are good enough, and often at the expense of sleep, other social activities, or having any fun. They said unrealistic high standards for themselves and feel significant anxiety at the thought of submitting work that might be less than perfect. This perfectionism is an anxious response. It's a way for Jamie to try to control the environment and avoid the pain of failure or perceived rejection. So any of you relate to this? It's really frustrating when we know we've done a good job and we just can't let ourselves feel that. So this behavior can lead to a cycle of anxiety and stress as the pressure Jamie puts on themselves to achieve perfection. It's both exhausting. It's unsustainable. We can't keep up with this. And it's a protective mechanism. So it was learned at the time of the first experience or others similar in nature, but it's no longer needed because we don't have control over the outcome. As long as we do our best, it's really all we can do. So this response or this adaptation of perfectionism can have negative consequences on mental health and well-being. The process of healing involves addressing the trauma, allowing the nervous system to regulate and release that trapped energy from the past. And therapeutic approaches often focus on helping individuals process their trauma, develop coping strategies, and work towards a state of nervous system regulation that is needed and so wanted. Anxiety can feel overwhelming. It traps us in a cycle of worry and fear. But what if there was a way to tame those anxious thoughts and find relief? That's where EMDR therapy comes in. It was developed in the late 80s by psychologist Francine Shapiro. And if you want to learn more about this in depth, you can watch the episodes on What is EMDR, parts 1 and 2. But it's become a widely recognized and used approach for treating various mental health conditions, including anxiety disorders. So how exactly does EMDR work? Well, I'm not going to dig in too deeply, but it's based on the idea that disturbing memories or experiences can get stuck in our brains and in our bodies, and it leads us to emotional distress and negative beliefs about ourselves. EMDR helps to reprocess these memories in a way that reduces the emotional intensity and allows us to reframe them more positively. It also helps to give us access to adaptive information that's much more useful for the current situation. One of the key components of EMDR is bilateral stimulation, which can involve moving the eyes back and forth, tapping on the body, or using other auditory cues like sound or music. But this bilateral stimulation, along with several other factors, helps to address and resolve traumatic memories and reduces their emotional impact. So how information lives in our bodies actually changes, which is so awesome because that's where the freedom is. But EMDR isn't about reliving past traumas. It's about reviewing emotionally trapped information that got stuck and is no longer needed. It focuses on building resilience. It develops coping skills to manage anxiety in the present. And through a series of structured phases, EMDR helps people identify triggers and challenge the negative beliefs that got stuck at the time of the event. And it helps to cultivate a sense of safety and empowerment in the now. So we feel totally different about ourselves. We don't just get a state change, but we get a full trait change, an all-encompassing experience of I'm enough and I've done enough and my best is enough. And it's a full perspective change on self. So you might be wondering, is EMDR therapy right for me? Well, it's important to consult with a qualified therapist who can assess your individual needs and determine whether it is a good fit for you or your presenting issues. I know that I'm an EMDR therapist who uses it really with every presenting issue and find great success with it. But it's typically used as part of a comprehensive treatment plan that can also include other therapeutic modalities and support services, groups, classes, readings, etc. So if you're considering this, there are a few things to keep in mind. Find a licensed therapist who's trained and certified in EMDR therapy when possible. Be open and honest with your therapist about your concerns and your goals for treatment. And don't wait till 6 months in to tell them the things that you do to adapt to stress, because they can help you with those too. Trust the process and give yourself permission to experience whatever thoughts and emotions arise during therapy, because we can't really control what our brain needs us to access for healing. And so it's a bit about surrender, which is pretty uncomfortable for people who like to have control about things. Make sure you practice self-care and coping strategies between sessions that'll help support your overall well-being. Remember that healing from anxiety, it takes time. It's a process. But with effort and the right support and resources, it's possible to find relief and to reclaim your life. If you're interested in learning more about EMDR therapy, be sure to check out our show notes for additional resources and information. That's all I have for you for today. I hope that you found this helpful and useful, and perhaps someone you know could benefit from learning a little bit more about a way out of anxiety. Until next time, don't forget to lead with love. It'll never steer you wrong.